Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And many of you are still texting about the Wall Street Journal's views about the Supreme Court ruling. Many of you pointing out, here's like the string of text messages. Yes, John, Trump was president, but this time would be 4 more years of revenge. See 2025 Project. John, listeners should not underestimate Trump. Everyone needs to research his Project 2025 plan. Next one says, please look into Project 2025. It's terrifying, and it's the plan with the Republican win. But others have said things like, John, people are overreacting to the recent events based on their political perspective. I saw this at Politico.com. Representative Mike Quigley of Illinois, on Biden's debate performance, it wasn't just a horrible night. He said, we have to be honest with ourselves that it wasn't just a horrible night. He told Cassie Hunt on CNN, but I won't go beyond that out of my respect and understanding for President Joe Biden, a very proud person who has served us extraordinarily for 50 years. I just want to appreciate at this time just how much this impacts not just his race, but all other races coming in November. Earlier in the interview, Quigley said that Biden has to be honest with himself because his decision and its results on how Democrats perform down ballot will have implications for decades to come. Democrats in Congress have mostly stood behind the president, at least publicly. Eric Zorn, the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel and a member of our Mincing Rascals panel, has long said that Joe Biden should step down, especially if he does poorly in the debate. Am I remembering your thoughts generally there, Eric Zorn?
Yes, you remember my thoughts correctly. And, you know, at the outset, I do want to say that I will vote for Joe Biden if he's in a coma. You know my politics. But that debate performance was dreadful, and Mike Quigley is exactly right that it's time for the Democrats, it's well past time for Democrats to be honest with themselves about where Biden is cognitively. And I really resent some of the statements out of the campaign calling people like me bedwetters and referring to us as panicking and being, you know, self-important podcasters is one of the epithets that was thrown at us, and saying that this is just a media creation. Look, this isn't a media creation. I was watching that debate on Thursday night live, and my phone blew up with various text strings, people texting me and me texting them back about how awful it was. We didn't need CNN or MSNBC or anyone else to tell us what was going on there. That was very disquieting, and it's something that we've seen coming for a long time. And now you've got these Democrats who are not being honest with us and not being honest with themselves, and they haven't been honest with us for a while about this. So it's very troubling, and I think the comment you just read about how that this could have severe impacts down ballot is really an important point.
Or down the road. I mean, if the next president gets to pick 2 more Supreme Court justices, think about how much concern we have. You know, you have these like 3 pillars of American government. You have the judiciary, you have the executive branch, and you have Congress. And there's not a lot of faith in the first two, but you always thought that the Supreme Court would at least, the judiciary would be the adult in the room. If it's not the Senate anymore, if it's not the executive branch, Lord knows it's not the House, but the Supreme Court will stay the course. And it doesn't, they are so utterly predictable these days. I know there have been some exceptions. We've had some 5-4s, for instance, and sometimes they have gone the other way, but mostly not, particularly on issues like this. They are not only a supermajority now, but if 2 more Supreme Court justices get picked by the next president, that maybe should inform your vote, or at least your enthusiasm for voting.
Well, that's the case. That's certainly the case. It's the case with every presidential election, which is that the Supreme Court picks are really, really important. And we certainly saw that. Trump got to put 3 justices on the court. What is likely to happen if he's reelected is that the 2 older justices, Clarence Thomas and Alito, would probably retire, knowing that Trump could appoint their successors, especially if the Republicans get control of the Senate. And then, of course, Sonia Sotomayor's health is always a little bit dodgy. People are worried about that. And so you could end up with a 7-2 conservative, strong conservative majority on the court. And you're going to get rulings like the one you got yesterday, which to me increases the threat of the next Trump presidency.
I wonder if this is possible. If one way that people will read this, you know, because I just now said that maybe this increases your motivation to vote. Maybe that will, to the people, say Joe Biden decides to stay in it, perhaps the power that the presidency evidently has will motivate people to come out and vote even for Joe Biden if they're just worried about what Donald Trump would do with that power unchecked.
Oh, I'm very worried about it because he has these impulses to take revenge on his political enemies. And if he has, is untrammeled by the law, if there's nothing that was going to tell him that he can't do something. I mean, there were jokes at first, and then it appeared in Justice Sotomayor's dissent about that a president could literally order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate one of his political rivals under the color of his authority as president. And according to the Supreme Court, that would be legal. That he's immune from that. And you say, well, that could never happen. But I don't know. I don't know what Trump's impulses are, and I certainly don't trust them at all.
I have to tell you, when that came up in the oral arguments, I thought that was a preposterous question. I thought, I get your point, but that's a ridiculous scenario to imagine. And I think it still is. But if even that ridiculous scenario holds up under this court's review, then that's really remarkable, isn't it, Eric?
Well, they didn't put any bumpers up, any guardrails to prevent any. I mean, the opinion was fairly broad. And then at the end, they sort of say, well, you know, of course, they can always look at what is an official and what is an unofficial act, if he's acting as a candidate rather than a president. But those things are really hard to disentangle. And you can see that in Trump's own lawyers' arguments when they're talking about that he was trying to overturn the results of the election. This was him acting in an official capacity. And that's what the lower courts are going to have to decide now. We're not going to even know what is going to happen with that before the election. That the odds now that a trial is going to take place before the election are very, very slim. And even if a trial takes place after the election, he's convicted, he can just come in when he's if he's elected, he can come back and pardon himself and move on. So the absolute power that they are giving to the president in this case is very troubling. And people pointed out that it's almost like a monarchy at this point. And that is really frightening. And it's not found in the text of the Constitution. And it does seem to me to be directed at Trump, because everybody knows that we've had this long, long history and no president has been indicted or convicted for any crimes. But they're saying it's like that Watergate was legal. What Nixon did in Watergate was legal because he could plausibly argue the cover-up.
Oh, I thought about that. So in other words, what Nixon was going to be impeached either way, maybe, but he could not have been brought up on criminal charges, right? Ford didn't need to pardon him because it would have withstood scrutiny, evidently, according to this court. Not at that time, but this would have withstood scrutiny, right?
Well, that's how I read the opinion, but you know, people will say, well, he was acting not in his official capacity. But I mean, that is such a debatable point that he could say, well, this is my official capacity. This is part of my duties that I need to protect the office of the presidency.
That's
blah,
right.
blah, blah, blah.
That's
and, you
right.
know, you never know. Well, I just think the idea of putting one person ahead of the law, and there have been these clips that are circulating on social media that show Gorsuch and show Roberts during their confirmation hearings talking about no man is above the law, Alito, all these, but no person is above the law. This is a nation of laws, not of men, and so on, and all this stuff. And they just expose that for the lie that it now turns out to have been.
Okay, but I have to say that it's the presidency that they said they were protecting. In fact, they almost, this ruling almost comes in the abstract, right? They didn't rush it through because we had a debate or an election coming up. It was the very last thing they decided to roll out for us. And they didn't seem to care what this does to or for Joe Biden or Donald Trump. It almost seemed to be a ruling in the abstract. And the idea, I mean, it does preserve this notion, Eric, that if the president were to do something for which maybe somebody would feel victimized, like, hey, the drone strike that you ordered killed somebody in our family. We want to charge you with murder or some sort of criminal act. This protects the president. John Roberts said that it is better that the president rule fearlessly and fairly rather than worry about criminal retribution.
Well, that is such an abstract point. When has that ever happened? It's you know, what we're looking at right now is we've got a president in Trump who has vowed to take revenge on all of his political opponents, who has vowed to take control of the Justice Department. And all of that is now going to be perfectly legal.
Well, I don't know that it is. I mean, subject to review. I mean, you can sue and then the Supreme. I take what you're saying, Eric. I'm promising myself that it's not as awful as it sounds. And I know I'm going to lose that argument with you and a lot of other people. But particularly since the Supreme Court specifically commented on Donald Trump's conversations with his vice president, and they said that those were protected, that even as Trump was urging him to throw out the results of the election, that would have been considered an official act. That's hard to imagine, isn't it?
That's hard to believe. And you talk about the Supreme Court acting like this is above the election. Remember how quickly they ruled in the Colorado case? Colorado wanted to keep Trump off the ballot because they felt that he was criminally liable for the election overthrow. So they acted very quickly to say, no, Colorado's got to keep him on the ballot. This immunity question, which hangs over these other prosecutions of Trump, they waited and waited and waited until it's now the last minute, and they know that they can't bring these cases to trial before the election. And that, to me, looks a lot like the court putting its thumb on the scale for Trump.
Well, they sure didn't. A couple of justices could have recused themselves, if you ask me. And while that would not have changed the outcome, there were only three dissenters. I take your point. You and I will talk more about this on the Mincing Rascals podcast, as well as other local things when we record the podcast tomorrow. And on that, I'm going to say thanks for your time today, Eric.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, John. Thank you.
The Mincing Rascals record and drop on Wednesdays.